You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire. Volt Typhoon retains the attention of U.S. investigators. The IMF reports a cyber breach. Fujitsu finds malware on internal systems. Securonix researchers describe Deep Gosu targeting South Korea. Subsea cable breaks leave West and Central Africa offline. Healthcare groups oppose enhanced cybersecurity regulations. A Pennsylvania school district grapples with a ransomware attack. AT&T denies a data leak. Our guest is Kevin McGee of Microsoft Canada, sharing his experiments with board reporting. And Apex Legends esports competitors get some unexpected upgrades. It's Monday, March 18th, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Happy Monday. It is great to have you here with us. The United States is currently facing a sophisticated and extensive espionage campaign orchestrated by Volt Typhoon, a Chinese hacking group. Rob Joyce, the outgoing director of the National Security Agency's Cybersecurity Directorate, shared insights during a roundtable with reporters, emphasizing the ongoing efforts to fully comprehend and neutralize the threats posed by this campaign. Despite nearly a year passing since the initial disclosure of Volt Typhoon's activities by Western intelligence, the U.S. government, according to Joyce, is still in the process of identifying all affected entities and eradicating the hackers' footholds within compromised systems. The operation's complexity is further highlighted by the hackers' method of operation, which includes the use of legitimate credentials to avoid detection and the abstention from introducing additional malware into the systems they infiltrate. Interestingly, Joyce revealed for the first time that artificial intelligence played a role in uncovering some of the breaches attributed to Volt Typhoon, marking a pivotal moment in the use of AI for cybersecurity purposes. However, he also noted that there have been no instances of the hacking group utilizing AI for their ends. Instead, their approach relies heavily on conducting bulk scans to identify and exploit known vulnerabilities across networks. The seriousness of this espionage effort was underscored by recent warnings from top U.S. cybersecurity officials regarding the potential for Chinese hackers to compromise critical U.S. networks, especially in the event of a conflict with Beijing. This vulnerability stems from long-standing security issues within the infrastructure's underlying technology, largely due to a historical emphasis on feature development and market speed over robust security measures. Joyce expressed hope that the Chinese government would exercise caution in the wake of widespread national anger over previous espionage activities, including the discovery of a high-altitude balloon campaign last year. He warned that any direct attacks on U.S. water and transportation systems by state-backed hackers would only exacerbate public outrage. As Joyce prepares for retirement at the end of the month, he will be succeeded by Dave Luber, a veteran of U.S. Cyber Command and current deputy chief of the Cybersecurity Directorate, who brings extensive experience to the role at a critical time for national cybersecurity efforts. The International Monetary Fund is addressing a cybersecurity incident that compromised 11 of its internal email accounts detected on February 16th. With the help of external cybersecurity experts, the IMF took remedial actions and resecured the affected accounts, finding no evidence of further breaches. This event underscores the IMF's potential vulnerability to cyber espionage, especially from state-sponsored actors interested in its financial dealings with 190 member countries. Meanwhile, global tech firm Fujitsu has announced it fell victim to a cyber attack, with malware found on several internal systems, potentially leading to the unauthorized access and theft of personal and customer information. The company has disconnected affected systems and is probing the breach's extent and potential information leakage. Fujitsu, with significant government and private sector clientele, has reported the incident to Japan's Personal Information Protection Commission. The specifics of the stolen data, including whose data was affected, remain unclear. This incident comes amid scrutiny over Fujitsu's role in the UK Post Office scandal, involving wrongful convictions of postal workers that were later tied to bugs in its software. The company's response and further regulatory notifications are pending. The Securonics threat research team identified a complex multi-stage cyber attack campaign likely linked to the North Korean Kimsuki Group targeting South Korean entities. The operation, named Deep Gosu, incorporates new and reused code alongside traditional tactics, techniques, and procedures. It employs a sophisticated script-based attack chain using PowerShell and VBScript to infiltrate systems quietly, allowing attackers to monitor user activities such as clipboard and keystroke logging. The attackers utilize a remote access Trojan for complete control over compromised systems, ensuring persistent surveillance and data collection. Communication with command and control servers was stealthily conducted through legitimate services like Dropbox and Google Docs, making detection more challenging. The initial malware infiltration likely occurred through malicious email attachments disguised as legitimate files. Repairs on cut subsea cables, which have disrupted internet and telecommunications across West and Central Africa, are expected to take at least 5 weeks, according to Ghana's communications regulator. The damage to the cables has severely impacted various services, including banking, mobile phone operations, money transfer agencies, and stock exchanges. The National Communications Authority of Ghana, after meeting with subsea cable landing service providers Africa Coast to Europe, Main 1, South Atlantic 3, and the West Africa Cable System, as well as mobile network operators, reported that the location of the damage has been identified. Preparations are underway to send repair vessels to the sites. Main 1 suggests that the breakage may have been caused by seismic activity on the seabed. In the wake of the recent cyber attack on Change Healthcare, discussions have intensified in Washington about implementing cybersecurity regulations in the healthcare sector. This move faces opposition from hospital and healthcare groups who argue against mandatory requirements, citing substantial investments in cybersecurity and the unfairness of penalizing hospitals for third-party breaches. Senator Ron Wyden advocates for immediate actions, including fines for negligent CEOs, to enhance cybersecurity standards. The Biden administration is exploring mandatory cybersecurity rules and proposing a $1.3 billion budget to support hospital cybersecurity efforts, possibly including financial penalties for non-compliance. The attack itself underscores the systemic risk large healthcare companies pose and the urgent need for improved digital security measures, despite the industry's resistance and the complexities of enforcing new standards. The Scranton School District in Pennsylvania is addressing a ransomware attack that's caused significant technology outages, affecting about 10,000 students across 15 schools. The district is collaborating with third-party forensic specialists to investigate the attack source, assess its impact, and restore system functionality. The attack has led to disruptions in computer systems and services, making some files inaccessible and slowing down certain functions due to heightened security measures. This incident forced students to revert to traditional paper and pencil for assignments. It marks at least the 21st confirmed ransomware attack on a K-12 school district so far in 2024. AT&T has denied that a data leak affecting 71 million individuals came from its systems, despite claims by a hacker on a cybercrime forum that it was stolen in a 2021 breach. Bleeping Computer confirmed the accuracy of some data entries, which include sensitive information such as social security numbers and addresses. The data was initially offered for sale by a threat actor named Shiny Hunters on the Raid Forum's data theft site. Despite AT&T's denials of a breach, another hacker, Major Nelson, later released the data for free, claiming it to be the same as what Shiny Hunters attempted to sell. While the source of the data remains unconfirmed, cybersecurity researchers have verified some of the information as accurate. AT&T customers from before and through 2021 are advised to be vigilant for potential phishing and SIM swapping attacks. Coming up after the break, Kevin McGee from Microsoft Canada joins me to discuss his methodology regarding board reporting. Stay with us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. It is my pleasure to welcome back to the show Kevin McGee. He is the Chief Security Officer at Microsoft Canada. Kevin, welcome back. You know, you and I have something in common, which is that we both very much enjoyed my colleague Rick Howard's book on cybersecurity first principles. But you've really had some kind of on-the-ground interaction with some of the the things that you've taken away from the book here recently. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Dave, and love to talk about Rick's book. I definitely want to be Rick when I grow up. So it was fascinating, you know, for him to really put together his sort of an entire career's worth of learnings and lessons into one book. And it's something I've either recommended or bought for a number of the folks where I sit on boards and whatnot. It's a book that you can hand to not only a technical person, but a business person. So I'm getting no financial compensation for pitching. I just really think he did a great job. But one of the areas where I spend a lot of time is speaking with boards, and I sit on a number of boards. I'm an Institute of Corporate Directors for Canada, a certified public director. And I made a comment from the stage a little while ago at a conference that I would, you know, I should really do CISO therapy sessions. If you've been savaged by your board, I can help you maybe look at how to do better reporting or answer their questions. And I had 11 people send me an email that they'd like to work with me on that. So what I've been doing is looking at what are some of the best resources. And one was Rick's book to say, you know, here are the first principles of security. How can we develop a common vocabulary and an understanding of what a security program works? And one of the things, I guess, lessons learned the last little while is that's what's been missing. We have that in accounting. We know what an asset is. We know what a liability is. We lack that. And that lack of common understanding frameworks and vocabulary is so fundamental to everything that we build on top of it. But we often jump well past the first principles into a deeper discussion without establishing those norms first.
And so what is the best process here? I mean, is this a matter of sitting down with your board and having a kind of a mutual learning lesson?
One thing would be, how do we start with the fundamentals of understanding? As a director, you have a duty to become financially literate. We don't have an understanding of what that means in cyber. So one of the things that I use Rick's book and a couple other foundational documents to say, sort of, here are the things that a director really should read and should understand as part of the onboarding process. You should understand that fundamentally what zero trust means. You should understand some of these concepts from a relatively high level, but be able to have an interaction and a discussion about them. That's what I was sort of like the first principles approach that Rick uses. Now, some of the advanced discussions are, how do we discuss things like risk? And I think one of the things that Rick does a great job is to say, hey, what's the material impact and what's the probability? And instead of giving me 100 pages of data, can we have that discussion? Is this a $50 to $70 million problem? And what does the probability look like? And Rick's book gives lots of tools that are very high level that can be implemented to sort of drive those discussions out without a great deal of math or work involved as well too. So I think it's one of those sort of foundational books that I really think are important to develop a good board reporting discussion.
To what degree, in your experience, are board members who don't have a strong background in cyber, are they willing, eager, and able to take this on?
I think a few years ago, you saw all the articles about boards need to make cyber risk a board level discussion. I think we're past that. I think they know they have to. The big epiphany for me was I was sitting in an audit committee meeting. We were discussing the current ratio, and I couldn't, for the life of me, remember what the current ratio was. It was clearly important, and this number mattered that the accountants were talking about. But I had a duty to the organization to make a decision based on what we're discussing. But because I'm a type A and I didn't want to look like a fool in front of my my peers, I didn't put my hand up at first and say that. And then it dawned on me, well, I don't want to look stupid that I didn't know what the current ratio was in front of my accountant peers. Do they feel the same way when we talk about cybersecurity, about maybe they don't want to look like they're uninformed or whatnot? So I don't think it's that they don't want to have the conversation. I think it's often they just don't know how to have it, or they don't have the vocabulary to have it. And I think that's why having that first principles discussion, going back as part of the board education, is so fundamental to making sure that we have that to build on so that we can have a good discussion. We can, as governors, ask those questions and fulfill our duties to the organization.
It strikes me, too, that establishing an environment, a safe environment where people feel like they can ask those questions and be rewarded for it.
We often, too, forget that the only modality that a director has to do their job is by asking questions. So CISOs will often come and try and fill up the time with information and then are surprised when they get asked questions. Well, that's really the only way that a director can do their job is by asking those questions. So I often say to CISOs as part of my therapy session, you know, it's your job to really help them understand, educate them. And the better informed they are, the better questions they'll ask. So the quality of the questions the board asking is really up to us as cybersecurity professionals. Are we doing our job in helping them understand and making the material we're providing them contextually relevant? If they're asking questions like how many port scans did we get last month, that's completely irrelevant and doesn't help move forward the security posture of the organization or understand enterprise risk, that's on us because we didn't really have a good discussion. We didn't make them feel comfortable asking those questions or whatnot. So if they're not learning from us, who are they learning from? Or where are they, you know, where are they developing these questions? So I think we need to take more responsibility as a profession to help them understand and recognize with some empathy that, you know, maybe this is an area that they're uncomfortable and they're used to being, you know, in command of their environment and their subject matter, and maybe not so much in our area. And that's okay.
Well, Kevin, I see that our time for this session is up. I want to thank you for joining us. Kevin McGee is the Chief Security Officer with Microsoft Canada. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. We close today with news that the North American finals of the Apex Legends esports competition faced a significant disruption when the competitive integrity of the game was compromised, leading Respawn and EA to postpone the event. The disruption involved unauthorized access where professional players were given hacks like aimbots and wall hacks during the finals, leading to one player getting banned and raising concerns about the game's overall security. The extent of the breach remains unclear, with fears that it might signify a broader security issue affecting the entire player base. Rumors suggest a hacker known as Destroyer2009 executed the attack through a remote exploit, but this hasn't been confirmed. The incident has sparked widespread concern over Apex Legends' anti-cheat system and has coincided with recent layoffs at Respawn, including developers from the Apex Legends team. As the community and players await further updates, caution is advised regarding game access. The providers of the game's anti-cheat mechanism has clarified that the incident does not involve a remote code execution from their end. I must admit, the extent of my knowledge when it comes to modern online gaming is quite limited, and part of me longs for the days when the toughest decision in gaming was which colored ghost to chase first. Yeah, I know. Get off my lawn. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. Don't forget to check out the Grumpy Old Geeks podcast, where I contribute to a regular segment on Jason and Brian's show every week. You can find Grumpy Old Geeks where all the fine podcasts are listed. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.